RCR with Paul Brennan, Reality Check Radio.
Lisa Tregenza is a qualified menopause coach, a trauma-informed yoga practitioner, an intuitive life coach, an entrepreneur, busy mum of three. She's been practicing yoga for over 25 years and has fully embodied her style of movement, mindset, mantra, and music to support herself and her clients through many life changes, healing trauma, and moving through menopause with ease and grace. This is Health Hacks, and Lisa Tregenza is with us for this edition of Health Hacks. Lisa, thanks for beaming in.
Thank you. Pleasure to be here.
All right. Busy mum of three. I know all the other qualifications there, but busy mum of three. I was a busy dad of three once, so kind of know what that's like. All right. Well, I'm still, but not little ones. Okay, I want to start with a dumb guy in the street question, because I think this will help inform the men listening. We know what menopause is, but what is it for a woman? What does it mean for a woman? We can joke about it and make wise cracks and, you know, the sort of jokes and cracks I mean. But what is it actually?
Great question. And whilst we think we know what it is, I think it's actually important to just look at that just for a moment first, because when we hear the word menopause, we think that that's potentially the journey, perhaps, but technically the word menopause is the pause, the stop in menstruation.
Right.
So that moment is a moment in time, and that is the point where we stop, and that pause has been for at least 1 year. So
okay.
the reason I talk to that is because some people, we don't really know much about menopause. We hear about it and we certainly have perspective or how it's been portrayed. So perimenopause is when that journey begins, and we go through that. That can begin any point, maybe sometimes even our 30s. So it can be very confusing. Most commonly, the symptoms will start presenting in our 40s, and around 50 is, you know, a time where that moment in time, the menopause, can happen, and then we go into postmenopause.
Does it change? Does a woman like change in a kind of fundamental way at that point?
Yeah, I think, you know, that point is a moment in time, and I think it's significant because at that point in time, that is a stage where grief can really set in, because from that point on, we as women are no longer able to create life, to carry a child. So for someone that can be significant, and that can trigger a grieving process. Leading up to that point, there are so many symptoms in the body, and also the hormonal changes, fluctuations, can have a huge impact on our mind, on our emotions, on so many aspects. So it's one thing to experience that, to be in the body of a menopausal woman or a woman moving through menopause. It's another whole thing to experience that as maybe a daughter, son, partner, someone around you. People are colleagues in the workplace, because whilst people may be experiencing what we're going through externally because of how we're showing up, you know, this hot flush is obviously, that's it can be an obvious one. But it's also, it's hard for us to navigate our own emotional field, let alone to then still perform or still show up in the world and try and remain calm. So it has an impact on many of us.
At the younger end of that spectrum that you talked about, onset, and you said 30, sounded quite early to me, though I've heard of that, of course. Is that part of a natural variation, or has the age onset been sort of sneaking back over time? Any ideas about that?
Yeah, I mean, my take on that is that there is going to be a variation. So traditionally it is more in the 40s, and I haven't seen that. It might be a body of evidence to show that the age is coming down. What we do see, and why we talk to that it can start happening in our 30s, is so that women who are experiencing symptoms, and there is a raft of them, low. It's a very long list. And so when someone in their 30s or women in their 30s presents with different symptoms, and sometimes they can be misdiagnosed as something else and go down a completely different health path. So it's really important to have awareness early on so that we could start getting curious, is this something like that? And looking at lifestyle tools, holistic tools that can actually support us earlier, because the earlier we look for ways to support our health and well-being in a natural way, the more opportunities we give ourselves to navigate through the menopausal transition with ease and grace.
Okay, so we hear about medicalization of all sorts of things to do with the human body, and some argue that natural processes really shouldn't be medicalized or leveraged off by, you know, whoever could provide this or that treatment. Has menopause been medicalized as such?
Yeah, well, another great question. You know, has menopause been medicalized? Has the woman's body been medicalized? You know,
right. I hear your answer. Yeah,
because, you know, my journey, you know, if I sort of look at that a little bit, I, as a teenager, experienced some pain with my cycle. And so, boom, here we go. There's a pill. The pill.
Right,
and
yeah.
Whilst that has created some empowering aspects for women, it's also relatively new in terms of how long that's been available and what is the long-term impact of that. Because back then, we are then accessing and utilising a different form of hormone to manage something back then. So, it's interesting because it comes from a place of soldiering on in a way. You know, hey, let's not just honour our cycle. And during a certain phase where it is maybe painful for some days or, you know, whatever the symptoms are, let's honour that and just maybe have some rest. No, the woman, we're expected to carry on in this structure of 9-to-5 type scenario. So we have been accessing a medical form for a while. Now, there's benefit to it too. So I see both sides.
Yeah.
So then, of course, when we take that for a long period of time and then we come to menopause, and maybe along that journey, and as I've journeyed, I have wanted to access more holistic tools and less reliance on a pill as such. So that was, you know, me exploring what are the options holistically, lifestyle-wise, that we can utilise to support us through this journey. And, yeah, it's very interesting when the body has been reliant on certain hormones from an external source, and to then want to try and transition through this period.
But it's designed to do it, right? It's fundamentally designed to unpick and cope with it, like many functions that we have that, you know, we change through life. I guess the reason I asked about medicalization is that certain things in life, you kind of need to own them, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I think it's brilliant having this conversation and having this conversation with a man. You know, like, let's have this conversation. I've presented and talked at different conferences and different scenarios, workplaces, because, you know, having this conversation does normalize it. And if we're having a conversation, we can talk about symptoms or our experience and we feel connected. And we can also find out what's working for people, what's not. So, yes, it is a natural process. Like I said that if we are experiencing external hormones or we're experiencing endocrine disruptors, so that's going to have an impact on our own hormones without actually taking hormones directly. And that is a relatively new thing. So whilst, yes, it's normal, you know, childbirth is normal, you know, all these things are normal, we are living in a different society with different impacts on the body. And we are starting to see that. Well, you know, we have been seeing it for a while, but I think
that's really interesting, because essentially what you're saying is the culture imposes a need to deal with it in a particular way, because there's not the space and time necessarily, and people want quick fixes as well, so there's that, to, I was going to say do it naturally, but do it normally, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it is a natural process, and it's a very important part of our process and of our stages in womanhood. And, you know, if we can actually honour that, it is a beautiful, beautiful transition. And I think that's not often talked about as much, you know, so much as emphasized on the symptoms and how dire it is, and it can be really significant. I know that firsthand, and I see that with my clients. But you know, if we can actually give ourselves a little bit more space and grace to work through it, to rest if we need to, for the workplace to be kind towards this, and know that, you know,
because it's a fact.
It is a fact. It is a fact. And yes, we know that it can affect our brain, our mind. We can have that brain fog. And it's a really tough one to own sometimes when you, especially, you know, if you're in a high functioning role and you've worked really hard to show up in this, I guess, patriarchal society, 9 to 5, you know, whatever you want to call it. And then suddenly your brain's just not operating as well as we'd like it to. As it was a week ago or a month.
Yeah, how do you explain that?
Yeah.
How do you address the curly issue of the menopause in the workplace?
Yes.
And without them saying, oh, not again, and or something like that, yeah, right?
Yeah, and put it down to women's issues and just get on with it. And, you know, whereas, you know, some kindness, some compassion means that we can actually support women in the workplace, and they bring so much to that space. And there are ways that we can support in a natural way as well.
I don't know if we want to talk too much more about symptoms. Maybe they're quite well known, and more devote time to the holistic tools to help and to ease things, and you know, along the way. So maybe we could, unless you've got any more points you want to make about symptoms.
Well, if you've got maybe 5-10 minutes for me to run through the list of symptoms.
Probably not.
Exactly. But the point I make is that we do tend to think that the symptoms of perimenopause, menopause are hot flushes, the brain fog, the tiredness, you know, those types of things. There is over 50.
Okay. Yeah.
So it's important to know what those symptoms are, and I'm happy to share that as a list, or, you know, as a resource.
We could put the link up to a list if you've got one with the replay, so that's how we can do that.
Right.
But if we gave 30 seconds to each one, we're here for 20 minutes.
No, and it's not about that. I really want to focus on how we can move through this, how we can support ourselves, and how it can be a really enlightening experience when we're supported through this. So, I just want to highlight that there are many symptoms, and if you're experiencing some health issues, look at that list and see how many of those tick the box on, and go to your practitioner armed with information and go, hey, let's get curious. Could this be this? Mm. Instead of going down a different path of health.
Yeah, so, be questioning and be empowered.
Yes.
Not there just to be told what to do.
Correct.
The 15 minutes you've got with the other person waiting, and hurry up.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, okay.
Right. It's the last thing you need when you're kind of maybe perimenopausal, anxious, poor concentration.
Not ideal for the consultation necessarily. Okay, well, take us through, I guess, in general terms, and people can go for more specific searches after they hear what you say, but how do you want to start on that? Where do you want to start?
Yeah, well, look, holistic tools are so beneficial, and the great thing with this is it's empowered. So, you know, we can manage this, and we can start managing this early. So the earlier that we bring awareness to things like endocrine disruptors to our natural cycle, and be with it, not against it, not resist, the more that we can reduce our stress. Now, that's obviously a big one. It's just important to know that stresses do have an effect on our cortisol levels. And when our cortisol levels are impacted, then we are less able to move through our menopausal journey as smooth as what we'd like. So there's a number of factors that we can impact in a positive way. How we eat, how we sleep, how we show up, all of these things are so important. And tuning into our emotions, you know, being really really clear on all of that, because that will, if emotions even and feelings are not processed, or trauma's not processed well, that will store in the body, and it will affect us.
So this it literally stores physically, doesn't it, trauma?
It sure does.
People don't realise that. We've had a few conversations already on that topic here on RCR. I didn't realise that. Trauma can actually literally physically pack into your organs.
Yes, absolutely. And that is another area that I'm super passionate about as a trauma-informed yoga practitioner, that we know that unprocessed emotion will store in the body, and it stores specifically location-wise to the unprocessed emotion. So it's quite
That's interesting. Yeah, interesting. Yeah. So there's a network of storage of those things in the body.
Yes, there is. And if it's not processed, and if it's sitting there and causing a block, then it's more likely that we may experience pain in that area. And that will, and it can affect our cortisol levels. And then it affects our endocrine system, which is all going to have an impact when it comes to our journey through menopause. So I do really love focusing on this time in our lives, because it actually gives us an opportunity to take our power back, in a sense, and kind of go, well, do I just want to just take a pill and mask everything again? And sometimes that will be helpful, because there are different treatments that we can look at that bring some hormones back in. However, if you've got underlying health challenges or unprocessed emotion, that pill's not necessarily going to help. And so this is where it's an opportunity to uncover some of that, so that we can then go on to live an amazing, empowered life that we're showing up as our true self. So it can be an incredibly liberating time if we're supported through it in the right way.
So movement is one thing, mm-hmm. and it's a physical thing for the body. So that moves the body and the bits in the body around. Okay, because I do a lot of running, and you know your legs are working, but everything else is being moved around too. You don't think of that, right? Everything,
yes,
everything's getting heavily jiggled, not just the limbs.
Correct, and running is a great exercise, and I think, you know, it's interesting you touch on running. I mean, I have enjoyed running in the past, and it's important to know that at this time of life for women, running may not be the best option.
Right. Okay. So, yep.
Yeah, because it's putting a lot of pressure on our joints, and our joints may already be challenged just with aging and the hormone changes. It puts pressure on there. So and also we don't want to spike our cortisol. So running can do that.
Yeah,
so
I wasn't suggesting running. I was just saying it makes you realize that you're giving a workout to everything, actually. Because sitting around and just walking around is not much going on there. It's very easy on the body. But when, you know, every organ's like dancing, you know, to the, it's like a workout for them, you know.
It sure is. It's an internal dance, when you're running. You know, but still, I think it's good to talk to that, because for some women who have always run, they think, well, I'll just keep doing what I'm doing.
Right,
and, well, we just need to modify, and we may not need to stop running, but we may do just a little bit less and then incorporate more walking and maybe some swimming or yoga, some other aspects that will still be able to raise our heart rate but won't raise our cortisol to the same extent. So that's, you know, it's really important to move and to move in the right way at this stage.
How do you address mindset if you're already of a certain mindset? And you suddenly, you know, these changes in the body are happening, and it's going to make you realize you're not as young as you used to be. There's all these things will come in, and that bit of my life is close to being over. I get all that. But what's the mindset to approach that with, do you think?
Well, I always love this one. I'm never going to be any younger than I am now.
Well, that's the cup half full, isn't it, there?
It is. And it's like, you know, I just sort of, that came to me one day, and I'm like, I'm never going to be any younger than I am now, so why not do it now? You know, embrace. And look, when we're in a dark place, a dark night of the soul, you know, depression does, it is something that will affect some women in midlife and many people, you know, through their life. And so it is hard to then lift ourselves out from that point when you're in it. So that is why I love mindset in terms of, you know, utilizing affirmations, but utilizing it with movement, because we're then embodying it. We're not just saying it. And also, if we practice tools, so holistic tools or things like yoga, when we're in a good space, we're already prepared with the tools, so that say if something happens and our energy drops or our mood drops, we already have the tools practiced, so we know to dig in and use that out of the toolbox.
Mantra, tell yourself things, well, over and over again.
Yeah, you know, the yogic term, if you like, with mantra is a really beautiful chant. So, you know, if we look at it from that perspective, it is a chant. So you're actually using your vocal cords, which creates a hum, which children naturally do. And that's a self-soothing technique. So there's amazing science behind that. And now we use the term mantra in a more wider sense.
As I just used it, yeah.
Yeah, affirmation. So affirmation, yes, utilizing a phrase multiple times to affirm what it is we want to believe. And like I said before, I'm a big believer in affirmations, mantra. I'm an even bigger believer in embracing movement and mindset.
Right. Gotcha. Yeah.
Because when we bring movement in, it's like, you know, the listeners won't see my hands, but, you know, I'm wanting to feel empowered. So I'm talking about being empowered. So my arms are naturally moving tight position. So we embody it and feel it, and the body will start believing it maybe before the mind does. So that's why I love the combination of movement and mindset to support us.
I think you've covered music, but I think music, I still haven't worked out what the appeal of music is. I think if people knew the answer to that, they'd probably be very well off. But there's something about music, it doesn't matter really what sort of music. In fact, that chanting that you mentioned before, one thing I've noticed, because I've done a long time in radio, play a lot of songs, it's the songs with a chant that are the most popular, with some chant-like or actual chant in them that is so popular. And you'll see them in concerts. Everyone knows the chant, but
it's the anthem. It sticks. It's the earworm. And if you look at someone like Oliver Sacks, so I have studied early childhood music specifically to understand babies' brain development and then the connection with the parent and that relationship. And we then look at the relationship of music, say, for Parkinson's patients or Alzheimer's, phenomenal in terms of the way that the music that we hear or we play connects a different part of the brain. So different neural
links. Yeah, people with Alzheimer's will remember all the words to a song. They might have to be prompted, but once they're in, they're in.
They're in.
Even people who've had strokes can do that, who can't actually talk.
Yes, it's phenomenal. I love it. I get so excited about this. So it's a neural pathway that is different to the language speaking pathway. And so it does, it lifts us up so much. So yeah, the benefit of music is so widespread. And not only as babies or, you know, if we're experiencing Alzheimer's, but, you know, in our midlife, music can speak to our soul and we'll dance and we'll move and we'll
absolutely.
Feel good. Endorphins.
It's all vibrations in the end, I think. All right. I think we've covered it pretty well because we're coming up against time. And the other thing I'm thinking is, once you've come out the other side of it, and depending on how you've dealt with it, you can feel pretty good about yourself, can't you? I got through that. I managed that. I handled that. You know?
You can. And again, I think, you know, what I see is that we go through so much in this journey, and I like to refer to it as, you know, sometimes we'll see the sacred rage appearing a lot faster, or the sacred grief that will, you know, appear on our faces in tears. And we may not just have that same mask up as we have earlier because our hormones are just going through a roller coaster. So, you know, by going through that, and if we give ourselves space to honor what we're experiencing, give ourselves time, give ourselves rest, feed ourselves well, sleep well, do all these things that, you know, all the self-care thing, then we start connecting, tuning in more to us. We feel more aware, And we come through this going, actually, I've done this, I've got this, I have a better awareness of myself. I'm actually feeling really good now. Things are settling down, and we can really bloom and blossom and have this incredible, healthy life where we really are living a life we love.
It's been really interesting chatting with you, Lisa. Thanks for coming on.
Thank you so much.
And if people want to get in touch, what's the best way? Because some will.
Absolutely. My website is a good place to go. So lisatregenza.com, lisatregenza.com. Or you can see me, follow me on Instagram and Facebook, Lisa Tregenza, the movement and mindset coach.
Really interesting. Thanks again.
Pleasure. Thank you so much.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.